This week's Torah Away has been sponsored by Leila Nishmas, Moshe Ben Lippman, Oliver Shalom, whose yacht site was yesterday. Hey Tishri, Friday the 21st of September, Dr. Shalom Springer, the glorious moment at the end of the Torah and the role of the Chachomim.
Good morning to you all, and Gemach Sima Tova. I'd like to start by talking about Sefer Devarim in general terms. Sefer Devarim is, of course, unique. All Sforim of the Torah, I suppose, are. But in fact, Devarim is a little different. The Ramban tells us that Devarim plays a special role in that there are mitzvahs that we meet for the first time. There are mitzvahs in Devarim that are repeated but are amplified. And there are a large number of warnings about Avodah Zorah. So those are the three main categories. Now there are other Ramozim, and many of them were brought in Sefer Mimamakim, from which I've got the beginning of this year, the beginning of the material. All takes place, obviously, as we know, and the Ramban explains, the role of Devarim is Hachana of that Doya, who are going to be the Boy Haoretz. Now, of course, we've said goodbye to the Doya Sheyotze Mitzrayim, the people who came out of Mitzrayim. They have all gone in one form or the other. And now Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to the Doya Hanichnas Laoretz. And Devarim itself takes place at the end of the 40 years. Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing the people on Arbas Moav. And they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. And so he's prepping Klal Yisrael for that entry. And of course, they will be Zoicha to inherit Eretz Yisrael, but they'll also do so prepping, preparing. Yeah, it's just a sort of cool word for preparing. So, and the Ramban says, Azoy, in his Akdoma, Sefer Hazeh Inyono Yodua Shumishna Torah, that's its name, the rabbinical name for it, Yivai Boy Moshe Rabbeinu L'doya Nichnes L'oretz Roiv Mitzvah HaTorah Tzrichen L'Yisrael. So the Ramban is telling us that this is a preparation process. Now, they are given Eretz Yisrael only in the S'chus of the Torah. If, of course, they adhere and they sign up to the bris of the Torah, without which, of course, if they don't, there's nothing doing. They won't get Eretz Yisrael. So it's a S'chus of Torah that they're going to get Eretz Yisrael. Now the Vilna Gaon says something interesting, and he tells us that Sefer Devarim is a remez le'elef hashishi, the sixth millennium, which of course we are in, and it says as follows. Shmuel Meltzon writes, Shomati mehagod of Yitzchok Margolis, sheshomem pi ha'gon erochayim b'loshen, and he heard it from the Gaon, that Sefer Devarim is Meramas on the sixth millennium. It says it like this, that each sedra of the 10 sedras in Devarim are Meramas and associated with 100 years, with one century of the sixth millennium. Now, you might ask me a question, but in Devarim there are 11 sedras, and the answer to that is that you take Nitzovim and Vayelech as one, and you get 10. So the Vilna Gaon says that each of them, and if you work out, actually I think we're about Akev now, in the terms of the millennium, but the fact is that the Sefer Devarim is something that is very, very relevant to us today. Because just as Moshe Rabbeinu was preparing Klal Yisrael for their Hachnosah to Eretz Yisrael, to their entry into Eretz Yisrael, so the Vilna Gaon is telling us that Sefer Devarim is also Meramas on this sixth millennium, which is of course our Hachana to Moshiach. The Ramban says as well that the Geula is only complete when we return to source. Now, the source there he means is the land was promised to Avraham Avinu, and Klal Yisrael, through a full circle, through Mitzrayim, etc., are now going to return to that source. So, Sefer Devarim signals the end, the true end of the Golus, and the preparation for Mashiach, and it all points to the time of Hachona leMenucho leNachlo leEretz Yisrael. So we're moving steadily towards that state, and each sedra, presumably, I don't think the Gaon expands, but each sedra has its own message. We take out the message for the time that we are living through in the sixth millennium. Sefer Devarim is also Meramah's Shabbos. It has a close connection with Shabbos, and there is an enormous connection. In fact, Chazal tell us, it's Gemara, that we know that Ovos Melochos are 39, and the Gematria of Eileh, that's the way Devorim starts, Eileh HaDevorim, so Eileh is Gematria 36, Devorim is 2, HaDevorim is another one, so together you got 39. So it's Meramah's on the 39 Av Melochos of Shabbos. And since Shabbos is, of course, the cornerstone of Emunah, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us and explained to us that the purpose of Shabbos, as it says in the Seder Sedibus of Yisrael, that the purpose is that we should be cognizant of the fact that Chiddush HaOlam is the cornerstone of our whole Yardas, our whole belief system. Shabbos, of course, signifies every single week that we sign up to our belief in the Brias HaOlam aspect of Yiddishkeit. So, Sefer Devorim starts with these words, Eileh HaDevorim, and it's a signal for the 39 Melachos, and so we get the connection of Shabbos. And it's also to remind us that we get Eretz Yisrael because of Mitzvah Shabbos. We talk about all mitzvahs, and the whole of the Torah is a schus for us, and we inherit Eretz Yisrael because of it, but especially Shabbos. And we lose it also when we cease to keep Shabbos. As the Gemara in Shabbos, Taka says in Kuf Yutes, the reason why Yerushalayim was destroyed was because Yidden started to be Mechal Shabbos. So therefore Shabbos has this special significance, in fact a unique significance, and we have a remez there in Devorim. The link of Shabbos and Sefer Devorim, in that its role as preparation for Eretz Yisrael, that this is the Mokam Menucha and Nachala, that this is all pointing in the same direction. And, of course, Devorim is also the herald, as I mentioned before, for the Bias HaMashiach, and it's all represented by Shabbos. So that's some little summary of the Sefer Devorim in general and the items that Chazal bring that it signifies. What I would like to do is now move from the beginning of Devorim, and Sefer Devorim, right to the end, which is the part of the title of this year, that the way the Torah ends, in Mitzvah Shem, we will line it on Simchas Torah, and it says as follows, the last two psukim of the Torah end off in the following way. And the very last pasuk is, Ulechol hayod hachazoka, ulechol hamoira hagodoyl, Asher Oso Moshe Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Of course, we'll jump up and say Chazak. And the Posh Pshat in the Psukim are that Moshe Rabbeinu is reminding Klal Yisrael of the Oisus and Moisim, Chol Moira Godoil, all the great things that they have just witnessed throughout the 40 years and before that. And that's how the Torah ends, seemingly on a high note. Yeah, high note. But in fact, we were looking Rashi. I wouldn't say Rashi spoils it, but Rashi puts a completely different connotation on these psukim. Rashi says as follows. Just read, Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Le'enei Kol Yisrael, very, very surprisingly, Rashi brings in an incident that you would not have thought is relevant here. Says Rashi, Shenosoi Liboy, we'll discuss what that means in a moment. Shenosoi Liboy, his heart was raised in some way. Lishboy haluchois le'eneihem, to smash the luchois, in front of and in sight of the whole of Klal Yisrael. Shenema v'ashabrim le'nechem. As it says previously in Devorim, that I smash these luchois le'nechem in your sight, in full sight of all Klal Yisrael. V'iskim udas ha-kodesh baruch hu le'datin. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam was maskim, agreed that that was the correct action to take, that Moshe Rabbeinu took these luchois and smashed them in front of all of Klal Yisrael. Shenema, asher shibarta, yeyasher koichcha, asher shibarta. So the Rabbeinu Shalom is congratulating Moshe Rabbeinu on having smashed the luchois. Thank you very much. Now, what's interesting are the words that Rashi uses. Shenosu liboy. Now, there are some kashas on Rashi, one of them being, why does Rashi say that the Torah ends on this note, reminding us of the Egel? Surely we should have ended in a sort of high point and something very, very encouraging, a lift, a great big lift up. And it says that Moshe Rabbeinu received the Luchos biyodai. He received them in his hands. It then says, well, this is all the Rashi, Nosoi Liboi, Lishbos Haluchos. And, of course, Nosoi Liboi, we know that expression from the Mishkan, where it also says Nosoi Liboi. And the Ramban explains that Nesias Liboi is Hisroimimus Ruach, that someone gets a feeling to do something great, to do something extraordinary, is a Nesias Ruchoi. And it comes to a person who feels able to do something and achieve something extraordinary. So the question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu need this Nesias Ruchoi to do this? He was very angry, of course. He saw Klal Yisrael worshipping the Egel, or whatever the Avera was. But why does it need a Nesias Ruchoi? Obviously, it's to do something with great Hisroimimus that you would require a Nesias Ruchoi. So why did the Shmiras Haluchos need this Hisroimimus? And finally, a question I've already asked, why does the Torah end on such a sort of low note, talking about and reminding us of the Egel? After all, the Psukim themselves don't seem to imply that. The Psukim themselves seem to imply that he's talking about the great things that happened to Klal Yisrael. And finally, the significance of breaking them le'enei kol Yisrael. Why is that significant? These subjects are discussed in quite a few Sforim. One of them is Sifsei Chaim, for example, the Be'er Yosef, and many of them discuss this. I've put together a sort of compendium of the messages that they give. Now, we know from the Gemara in Shabbos, the famous Gemara in Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, that talks about the three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did of his own volition, and that Rabbeinu Shalom was maskim to him. And these three things are, he was hoisev yom echad midatoi. In other words, Rabbeinu Shalom said, appear after 2 days, and he decided to add a third day, and the Rabbeinu Shalom was maskim. How do we know he was maskim? Because the Rabbeinu Shalom appeared on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu had designated. And so therefore we know that Rabbeinu Shalom was maskim to Moshe Rabbeinu's action. And the second thing the Gemara tells us, he was pirish beishtoi. So he felt the right thing to do for someone, a Novi, that's going to speak to or have himself spoken to by the Rabbeinu Shalom on a continuous basis, should be in that situation, should be a bachelor, so to speak, should be pirish beishtoi. So he decided that, and the Rabbeinu Shalom was maskim, and we know from the psukim that the Rabbeinu Shalom indicated that he was indeed maskim. And the final thing is our subject, which we're talking about, which is Shibbeh Haluchos. As we've read already from the Rashi, that the Rabbeinu Shalom was maskim by saying Asher Shibarta, which the Gemara darshans as Yeyasher Koichecho Asher Shibarta. So the Rabbeinu Shalom is fully on side that this was absolutely the right thing to do. So the question is this, that without reading the whole of the Gemara implies in each of those three cases that Moshe Rabbeinu used one of the limudim of the Torah, say for example, Kal V'chomer, Gzeir Shover, all the general rules that we know about from the Brisa of Rabbi Yishmael, that Moshe Rabbeinu used those rules in order to deduce that these are the three things he's got to do. One was a Kal V'chomer, for example, in the case of Shibbeh Haluchos, he made a Kal V'chomer. Well, if one Aveira excludes you, then surely all the Aveiras should exclude you. That's roughly the Kal V'chomer. But he used the technique of Kal V'chomer to deduce that this was the right action to take. And the others, likewise, used similar limudim from the Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel, from the rules of Darshani the Torah, that this is the action he's supposed to take. So the question is, and this is what the Mefarshim are sort of weighing up, if these are droshes that Moshe Rabbeinu is making, the classical type of droshes using Zera Shov and Kal V'chomer, then they weren't midato at all. There were droshes from the Torah. We've got droshes all over the place, and we take them extremely seriously. Indeed, we can actually execute a person on the basis of a drosha. For example, Chilul Shabbos. Nowhere does the Torah say you mustn't plow. Yeah, nowhere does the Torah say you mustn't sow. All the 39 malachas are not mentioned in the Torah, and yet if a person transgresses the malachas of Shabbos, we would put him to death. Where do we get that from? The answer is droshes Chazal. Chazal put together the fact that you mustn't build a Mishkan on Shabbos, therefore deduces that all the things, all the type of melachos that you would do to build a Mishkan are also on Shabbos, and on that basis the Torah is mandating that this is how we should act. We should even execute a person on that basis. So the droshes that we darshan in the Gemara are extremely serious, have extremely serious consequences, and that means they are ikrei Torah. Now, if Moshe Rabbeinu used those rules in order to deduce his three things that he did, then they're not midatoi anymore. They are, in fact, divrei Torah. They are classical deraisas. And the answer Tosfos gives is that they're not droshes gemurais. They're not really. They are indicators. They are remozim. They're no more remozim. And Moshe Rabbeinu picks up the remozim of the Torah, and he decides to do what he does. And if you pick up the remozim correctly, and they are right, and they are in the theme of the Torah, they are looked through the prism of the Torah, then the Rabbeinu Shloim is maskim. And Moshe understood that, for example, in the case where he added one day, he understood that Klal Yisrael needed more preparation. They needed more hachana. And so he decided that they need one more day hachana. He added that day, and the Rabbeinu Shloim was maskim. And after Moshe Rabbeinu institutes this new day, then that becomes Dvar Torah. So the Remez indicates to the Chochom what is to do, and after the Chochom makes a decision to enact that, to establish that, then it becomes Dvar Torah. So why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu command it? If it's something that he should be doing, why is it only given to us in terms of Remez? Why didn't Baruch Hu command? They needed extra day Achonah. And the Sifter Chaim explains something very, very nice, interesting, in that it gives us a sort of general idea of how the Chachamim are meant to act, how we are meant to act. The extra Hachana must come from the Mekabel. There must be some sort of input from the Mekabelim. We, the receivers of Torah, must also, as they say in Yiddish, still sich zu. In other words, if we just had a list of commandments, and we just did by rote everything that we have commanded, we wouldn't be contributing anything at all. The Torah needs a contribution of those who are keeping the Torah. So, of course, the Torah has lots and lots of commandments, 613, etc., and all the droshes, but ultimately there is another layer that we superimpose on the Torah, and that is that we also contribute by hearing the messages. Once we hear the right messages, of course we do it through our Chachomim, as I shall demonstrate, whilst we hear the right messages, then those messages actually become Torah when our Chachomim decide to act on them. Now, that's really the common denominator of all these three items that we've discussed. Pirush Mishnah, for example, Moshe was not commanded to do it. He understood it, that in his position, this is what is the correct thing to do. And so it is, of course, with the Shviras HaLuchos, which is the main thing that we are talking about. Moshe descends with the Luchos, and as far as Hashem is concerned, they are now given. Here you are, here are the Luchos, deliver them. So, as far as the Rabbeinu Shlom is concerned, they are given, and therefore, Moshe's job is to pass them on to Klal Yisrael. And Moshe just has to hand them over. That's his job. That's what he was tasked to do. But after the Chet, Moshe Rabbeinu decides that Klal Yisrael are in fact unprepared. We've actually talked about this in another shiur, that they were on this tremendous Madrega, the 49th Shahr of Kedusha, and they were exactly suited to receive the Luchos, which were prepared and made and completely manufactured by the Rabbeinu Shlom. The Kulei Ruchni was going to meet Kulei Ruchni, and it was all absolutely twinned together and very, very appropriate. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down the mountain and sees Klal Yisrael Achatoim. He realizes that it's no longer appropriate, and these Luchos cannot be given to Klal Yisrael. So, and this is the fact, even though 3,000 people only among Klal Yisrael sin, nevertheless it's considered as a national crime. So, the special significance of Moshe Rabbeinu is there holding these luchos, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is saying, I'm going to annihilate Klal Yisrael. Hashem wanted the luchos to be returned. Hashem said, well, you know, if you're not going to give them to Klal Yisrael, I want them returned to me. But as Moshe Rabbeinu was holding them, the Maral explains to us that in fact that was the moment that there was the greatest chibur with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Because Rabbeinu Shalom is now sort of grabbing them back. So he's holding two tefachim. Moshe Rabbeinu was holding two tefachim. And out of the six tefachim, he's holding two. Moshe Rabbeinu was actually connected with the Rabbeinu Shalom at that moment. Both of them are tugging on these luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu therefore pulls the luchos and smashes them. So this is an act of special significance, that at the time of greatest chibur of Klal Yisrael, or Moshe Rabbeinu at least, as a representative of Klal Yisrael, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, is that at this moment Moshe Rabbeinu makes his judgment and decides that it is not appropriate for Klal Yisrael to have these luchos, and he takes them and smashes them. And here we see the Yod HaChazaka, that it's not talking about muscles, it's talking about the decision Moshe Rabbeinu took to take these luchos, so to speak, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who wanted them returned, and to smash them. So Klal Yisrael cannot be given these luchos. And despite the fact, of course, Klal Yisrael didn't get the luchos Rishonos, and there would have been tremendous benefits. Chazal tell us, il mole lo nishtabru luchos, if the luchos had not been smashed, these first luchos hadn't been smashed, lo nishtakcho Torah Yisrael, we would never have forgotten a word of Torah. So in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu, by smashing these luchos, took away an enormous benefit that we would have had, which is that we would never have forgotten a word of Torah. So he took that away. So there are a lot of benefits of the Luchos Rishonos, which the Luchos Shneis didn't have. And nevertheless, despite that, all the benefits that we lost, nevertheless, the Rabbi Nishlam was still maskim that that was absolutely the appropriate action to take. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to balance his decision. Better to lose the benefits than give them to Klal Yisrael inappropriately. And so he got his shkoyach, his yashakoyach. Now, what I'd like to pass to in the minutes that we've got left, just to mention, nesoy liboy, we understand. It's the realization that the mala of Torah requires us to be strong and to be completely connected to it. And therefore, if we don't have that position where we can accept the Torah in the form that was meant to be given, you need a Hisraim Masolev in order to make the decision that we are not going to receive it after all. So the act of breaking the Luchos turns out to be the greatest favor given to us, because we got Luchos Shneis, and we got Luchos that we can actually live with, and we can run our lives in accordance with that, and it's got a different role, as the Mephoshim say. No longer is it going to be parallel to the Madrega of Klal Yisrael, but it's going to be Barossi Yetzirah, Barossi Torah Tavlin, it's going to be something that will continuously help us rise from a position of sin in order to raise ourselves to a different position. Now, there is another aspect of the breaking of the Luchos, which I think is extremely important. Well, they say, the Mephoshim that I've read say are extremely important, and I think it's a very, very nice idea. And that's the second part of the title, The Role of the Chachomim. And we know about the three things, we've discussed them. And of course, we're talking about the Koyach Chachomim. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Supreme Chacham, is making decisions about what the Torah should be. In other words, that is, in fact, the role of the Chachomim. We don't have anything of the Torah unless it's through the words of the Chachomim. In other words, the Rishonim are those that gave us the way we do our mitzvahs, and through the Gemara and the Rishonim, the way we do all our mitzvahs is through the words of the Chachomim. We look into the Torah and we would get the completely wrong end of the stick. So this is, in fact, Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh, in the hands of the Chachomim, is there to the extent that they can use a Kal V'chaimer. Moshe Rabbeinu used a Kal V'chaimer to break the Luchos. And other examples are where the Chachomim darshan the Torah and completely reverse what the Torah says. For example, in the case of Yibum, it says, Yokum al Shem Hames. Yeah? In the case of Yibum, Yokum al Shem Hames, which means, basically, that the brother marries the widow, and a son that's born should be called after the name of the mess. That's the Pashup Shan Posse. The Gemara says it doesn't mean that. The Gemara says to a Zer Shover that what it actually means is Lenachala. Lenachala. Well, what about the old rule? What about our rule? Ein mikro yotzi midei pshutai. Yochum al shem ames. He should be called that name, says Rashi. Not so. Rashi says, She'ein tzorech likrois b'noi b'shem ochiv ames. Now that we've darshened through this Gezer Shover, that actually those words mean Nachala. Therefore, that it's completely oiker, the original explanation, the original translation of the Pasuk. And then other such examples where we get the Chachomim telling us it doesn't mean that. There's another one, Nozir, another one, Kisvei Adam, that it says Ofar, it says that you must use earth, but in fact, Choldova, etc. So there are many examples where not only do the Chachomim switch, the Chachomim change completely the sense of a Pasuk, and they have the power to do that, but in fact they can negate the actual translation, the Pasuk Nipi Pshutai. So that's what Chazal mean when they say, Bitula shel Torah zuhi kayomo. The Chachomim have got an expression like that. Bitula shel Torah, sometimes, in the hands of a Chachomim, that Bitula shel Torah, you may say one of the examples is not blowing shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. Not Shefi Lulu. In other words, we miss out on our Doraisa completely. We only blow shofar midrabbanon on the second day. So the Chachamim have instituted, for whatever reason and for good reason, Bitulo Shel Torah Zui Kayoma. The Chachamim have understood, how do we keep the whole thing going, is to make certain enactments and certain injunctions such that we understand what the Torah wanted and what it meant. So that Torah Sheval Peh actually trounces Torah Shebiksav. Torah Sheval Peh is the more powerful of the two, that Torah Sheval Peh can do so. And the Meshech Chochma tells us the following. There's a Ramban, he quotes the Ramban on Shom Yom HaShabbos LeKadshoi. Quotes the Ramban and says the following, that in Parshas Emor, it says that, obviously, Yehi Lechem Shabbosah, we should keep Shabbos. Yehi Lechem Shabbosah. And this we take as the mitzvahs assay of Shabbos, what Shabbos should look at. And I'll compress what I wanted to say, but it's roughly this. The Ramban tells us that the Torah doesn't give laws about the Shvusim. Shvusim, for example, Amirakum, Muktzah, and all the things, Davidovah. All those things are Shvusim, are midrabbanans of how to keep Shabbos. And we know the reason is because if we did the Shvusim, we could ruin Shabbos completely. Even if you were Nizah of the 39 Malachas, if we didn't keep the Shvusim, then we could do all sorts of choldika things the whole of Shabbos. The Ramban says the following. These words in Emor, Yilachem Shabbosim, tell us that the Chachomim are tasked with the job of identifying what are those matters which we shouldn't do on Shabbos, like Muktzah and Davidovah, etc., to keep the Shabbos. In other words, the Torah doesn't tell us. It lets the Chachomim do it. But once the Chachomim have done it, it becomes a Doraisa. I will say that not all Rishonim hold that, but the Ramban holds to that opinion, that once the Chachomim have identified the things we shouldn't do on Shabbos, which we call Shvusim and Midrabbonons, they actually become Midoraisa. Under that heading, under that rubric of Yielachem Shabbosah. So we see that the Chachomim are those that made the Torah into the Yiddishkeit we keep. And therefore, the Torah Sheval Peh in this regard is, of course, what we are keeping all the time is Torah Sheval Peh, Torah Shebiksav, through the lens of Torah Sheval Peh. And I think this is a very strong message, and we can bring it a full circle, because, of course, when we finish Le'ena Kol Yisroel, the first thing we do on Simchas Torah is to read Bereishis Bor Elokim. Well, if you have a look at the first pasuk in the Torah, you'll see that Rashi says that Mikra Zeh Aymer Darsheni. This pasuk needs drosha, and he immediately brings in Torah Sheval Peh, the Midrashim, etc., Torah Sheval Peh. So we have a nice closed circle. The last pasuk in the Torah, Rashi brings us Torah Sheval Peh, that what it means is not as it says, that we're talking about the great things, but we're talking about Shvios and Luchos. And the first pasuk in the Torah, Rashi tells us that what it is, Reishis Bishul, Reishis Shvios Yisrael, Reishis Shvios Torah, that we need Torah Sheval Peh. So in other words, our Torah Shebiksav is completely encircled and controlled by Torah Sheval Peh. And therefore, I think that the message is, with the whole of Devorim as it is, it's Ramazim, and also the fact that we have these Yom Tovim now, Rosh Hashanah, we have no indication of the Torah's Yom Adin. Our Chachomim tell us, we take it extremely seriously, that we are people who adhere to the words of the Chachomim. They are the ones that set us on the path of Yiddishkeit, and may everyone have Gemar Chasima Tova.